All right, so let's dive into those colorful little jars of potential that we all know and love.
Yeah.
Commercial hobby brushing glazes. I know a lot of you are curious about those.
Oh, yeah.
We're going behind the scenes today with some excerpts from digitalfire.com. Specifically, we'll be looking at Tony Hansen's take on these, what's the word?
Convenient.
Convenient concoctions, yeah. So we'll see if they're really worth the price tag. We'll find out what the heck a frit is, and maybe just maybe
DIY.
DIY, yeah,
Yeah.
is something you should be considering.
It's tempting.
Oh, yeah.
Especially when you're starting out, you see all those colors ready to go, no
Right.
mixing, no mess.
Totally. But that's where Tony Hansen throws some cold water on the whole magic glaze thing.
He does.
His big point is cost. He breaks down how a single jar might only glaze like a handful of mugs,
Oh,
making
wow.
your glaze cost three times that of the clay itself.
Yeah, and that cost difference really adds up. Let's say you're making 50 mugs to sell at a craft fair. Using commercial glazes could easily cost you three times more compared to mixing your own glazes for that entire batch.
Wow, that puts it into perspective.
Yeah.
I'm already starting to see why people venture into the DIY world. But before we go full mad scientist, let's talk about performance. Even if I'm willing to shell out the big bucks, what guarantee do I have that these commercial glazes will play nice with my clay?
That's the catch. They're formulated to be one size fits all, which means they might not be optimized for your specific clay body or firing process.
Oh.
You could end up with crazing, where the glaze cracks after firing,
Oh
or
no.
even weird color variations you weren't expecting.
That's a nightmare. I'm picturing a whole batch of mugs with a spider web of cracks.
Yeah.
So basically, you're saying it's a gamble.
It can be. Hansen even gives this example of a rutile blue glaze. Depending on how fast your kiln cools, it could turn out the expected vibrant blue or
Wow.
come out looking totally different. This really highlights the importance of understanding the science behind the glaze, something Michael Cardew was very vocal about.
Yeah.
Remember the quote Hansen mentions, "Has the pursuit of convenience led to a disconnect between potters and their materials?"
Okay, you've officially piqued my curiosity. I'm starting to see the appeal of having more control. But let's be honest, part of me still thinks there's some secret knowledge behind those perfect commercial glazes, like some magical ingredient they're not telling us about.
I understand that feeling. It's easy to think that. But Hansen actually debunks that myth. He explains that most commercial glazes are based on well-known recipes.
Okay.
The difference lies in the use of specialized ingredients, like frits.
Fritz. Okay, hold on. I need a quick explanation. What the heck is a frit?
It's basically pre-melted glass that's been ground into a powder.
Okay.
Manufacturers use frits to control things like melting temperature, surface texture, and even color.
Okay.
They have access to a wider variety of frits than the average potter, which is part of what contributes to those magical results.
So it's not that they have some secret recipe. It's more about having access to specialized ingredients. That makes sense. But that also makes me wonder if those frits are the key. Can we even get our hands on them for DIY? Or are we just out of luck?
You can definitely find frits for DIY projects. There are suppliers who cater specifically to ceramic artists. It might require a little more digging and research, but
I'll get you.
it's absolutely possible to source the materials you need.
Okay, that's good to know. So it's not completely off limits.
Right.
But even if I can find Fritz, is it really realistic to think I can achieve those same results at home? I mean, these manufacturers have labs and all sorts of fancy equipment.
That's true. They do have more resources. But don't underestimate the power of experimentation and a little ingenuity. Remember, those secret recipes are often adaptations of existing knowledge. You
Right.
can learn those same principles and apply them to your own work.
I like how you frame it. Not about replicating exactly, but understanding the process.
Right.
That reminds me of something else Hansen mentions, food safety. A lot of commercial glazes are labeled food safe, but is that always the whole truth?
That's where things get a little tricky. The standard they often use, ASTM D4236, mainly focuses on the safety of the artist during application,
Okay.
not necessarily the safety of the end user who's eating or drinking from the pottery.
So a glaze could be safe for me to handle, but still leach harmful substances into my morning coffee. That's a bit unsettling.
It is something to be aware of, and it circles back to that idea of control and understanding. When you mix your own glazes, you know exactly what's going into them.
Right.
You can research each ingredient, understand its properties, and make informed choices about food safety.
Okay. I'm definitely seeing the benefits of DIY from both a creative and a safety standpoint. But let's be practical for a second. Not everyone has the time or resources to go all in on DIY glazes. What about folks who are still using those convenient little jars? Is there any way to bridge that gap?
Absolutely, even if you're not ready to mix everything from scratch. Becoming more aware of what's in those commercial glazes is a great first step. Start reading labels, doing a little research online. See if you can identify the key ingredients and understand how they contribute to the final result.
So it's kind of like becoming a savvy consumer.
Yeah.
Educating myself about the products I'm using.
Exactly. You might even discover that certain brands or types of glazes work better with your clay body or firing process. And you can start experimenting with blending different commercial glazes to achieve unique effects.
I've seen some amazing results from people who do that. It's like creating your own custom palette of colors.
And as you get more comfortable with the concepts, you might find yourself drawn to trying out some DIY elements. Maybe you want to start with underglazes to achieve those vibrant colors Hansen was talking about.
Yeah.
Or maybe you want to experiment with a simple transparent glaze to layer over those underglazes.
So it's not an all or nothing proposition. You can dip your toes into the DIY world gradually. But I have to admit, the idea of making my own glazes from scratch still feels a bit intimidating. Where would I even begin?
A great starting point is to learn about the basic building blocks of glazes, the different types of oxides, and how they contribute to color, texture, and melting point. There are tons of resources available online and in books.
I'm thinking of books like John Britt's The Complete Guide to High Fire Glazes.
Yeah.
Or Mastering Cone 6 Glazes. Those are like the Bibles of glaze mixing, right?
They are. And don't forget about your local library or pottery supply store. They often have books and workshops on glaze chemistry. Plus, connecting with other potters either online or in person can be a game changer.
It makes the whole process less daunting and more fun. But speaking of fun, Hansen mentions something called a test kiln. Is that like a secret weapon for glaze enthusiasts?
It can be. A test kiln is basically a smaller kiln specifically designed for experimenting with glazes and firing small batches of pottery. It lets you play around with different recipes and firing schedules without worrying about ruining a whole kiln load of your precious work.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. It's like having a mini laboratory where you can fine-tune your glaze formulas. But let's be realistic. Not everyone has the space or budget for a dedicated test kiln. Are there any alternatives for those of us working with a regular kiln?
Definitely. You can still test effectively with a regular kiln. You just need to be strategic about it. You could dedicate a section of your kiln shelf for test tiles or small cups. Or you could use broken pieces of pottery or even small, shallow bowls for testing.
Those are great ideas. And that brings us back to that Michael Cardew quote about the potential disconnect between potters and their materials.
It's an important point to consider, isn't it? In a world of convenience, it's easy to lose sight of the fundamental processes that go into creating something beautiful and functional.
It makes you wonder if that pursuit of ease has come at a cost. But maybe as potters, we can find a balance. We can embrace the convenience of commercial glazes when it makes sense, but also cultivate a deeper understanding of the materials and techniques that bring our creations to life.
Exactly. It's about finding that sweet spot where tradition meets innovation. We don't have to reject modern conveniences.
Right.
But we can choose to use them in a way that enhances our appreciation for the craft.
And maybe that's the real takeaway here, that knowledge is power. The more we understand about our materials and processes, the more freedom we have to express ourselves creatively.
Absolutely. It's about empowering ourselves as artists and makers. And that's something that resonates with me deeply. What about you? How do you feel about this idea of bridging the gap between convenience and a deeper understanding of our craft?
Yeah, it really does make you think. It's a lot to consider. But let's get specific for a minute. Let's say someone's feeling inspired and wants to try mixing their own glazes. Where would they even start?
Well, Hansen's website, digitalfire.com, that's a gold mine of information. He's got articles, tutorials, even a glaze calculation tool to help you break down recipes and stuff like that.
This has been such an eye-opening conversation. I'm feeling inspired to dust off my glaze books and maybe try a little DIY magic myself. Thanks for sharing your insights and expertise with us today.
My pleasure. It's been a joy to dive into this topic with you.
And for our listeners, if you're feeling that spark of inspiration, don't let it fade. Head over to digitalfire.com. Check out those books we mentioned. Connect with other potters in your community. The world of glazes is waiting to be explored. And who knows, maybe your next masterpiece will be born from a little DIY adventure.
Mm-hmm.
Until next time, happy glazing.